excited. Can't wait to get started.
Live on tape at WGN-TV Studios in Chicago. Festivus.
When it's over, is the best. That's my favorite.
Who is Marcus Lashkat?
Less is more with him. You know, we're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippold.
For the love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchup.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Yo, 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 what's going on?
What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Festivus. I am Steve Lippo alongside
Marcus Lashkat.
That open actually made me realize I just looked down. Matt Schaub had more fantasy points than Cam Newton this week.
Wow.
So that will probably never happen again. But for this week, in all of your faces.
And how much did you love Cam Newton, though? Didn't you say that last week? You love him so much.
Reverse psychology, my friend. It's a powerful thing.
I am very excited today. You know why? I am the big winner today.
Marcus
I
is
am
the big
the
winner.
Huge winner of our Fantasy Festivus League.
Because
I have the number one waiver claim. Going
Dude.
After. Listen, we're recording this on Monday. We don't even know what the Monday night games are. I know I have the least amount of points.
Wait, that's not the waiver claim priority.
Isn't that how it works?
No.
Whoever loses, whoever has the least amount, who's the biggest loser of the week ends up being number one on the waivers, isn't it?
You would think that might be how it works, but you would be horribly incorrect.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in another league where that's the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it through Yahoo?
No.
Yeah, that's why.
Really? So yeah. How does it work?
Yahoo, it's reverse draft order, and then if you use a waiver claim, you go to the bottom. So you had what draft position?
Eighth or something like that.
Okay, so you probably have like the sixth waiver claim.
Oh, boy.
I hate to disappoint you.
Well, my day went from worse, from wonderful to worse. I mean, honestly, who am I going to pick up, you know? But
who are you going to
pick
up?
That was a silver lining. I had the worst week of anybody in the league. Going off of last week's podcast, not surprising because I do have Ryan Matthews on my bench. I have Kenny Britt on my bench. Two guys who could be very big for me this year. Obviously, weren't playing this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a little bit. How much I spanked Marcus with my also
it was
terrible.
But so I was feeling good about something today, but that's not happening.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, but I am very excited because our Chicago Bears are going to the Super Bowl. As I said,
yes.
I very modestly predict them at 12-4, but obviously after yesterday, they will be something like 15-1 or 16-0.
In our annual sports department prediction pool, I took 11-5.
All right, you want to hear some highlights in the Bears game?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
First and goal inside the five. Michael Bush in the backfield. Pass this side. Touchdown. Brandon Marshall.
Where is it?
Second and four. Forte again. Touchdown. And that was pretty uncontested. Cutler going deep for Jeffrey.
The Chicago Bears offensive juggernaut.
How excited were I? Was I thought the game was incredible, minus the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I mean, the first 5 minutes kind of had your head in your hands, but you know what? They picked it up and good to go from there on. Everyone pretty much relevant.
Now, just from watching yesterday's game, you would think that I have Brandon Marshall in another league who just had, I mean, what did he have, like 16 targets his way yesterday?
Well, it was no secret that Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall like each other, and they proved they really like each other yesterday.
He was throwing to him in situations he had no business throwing to him. I don't know if it was just because it was the Colts and they were at home first game, but he was throwing into double coverage, triple coverage, and they almost pulled some of those off. I mean, Marshall very easily, I mean, not so easily, but somebody with his talent, I mean, he could have had two, maybe three touchdowns yesterday, but he only had one.
Definitely possible. You know, what's interesting to look at is last year when everyone was covered, Cutler would either throw it away or get sacked. Seemed like in game one when everyone was covered, just throw it to Brandon and see what happens.
So you think that continues every week? I mean, do you think that they can put up this kind of production week in and week out?
Teams are obviously going to focus on Marshall more and more, especially now.
But they were focused on him yesterday. I mean, it wasn't like they weren't. I mean, he had two guys on him. Almost every time I saw the ball thrown to him, there were white jerseys all over the place.
Look, he's a clear number one receiver. I don't know if Bears fans are used to not seeing that around here and don't know what it looks like when a guy gets targeted a lot. I mean, obviously, I think it was a little bit more than usual yesterday, but bottom line, Brandon Marshall will see a lot of passes this year.
Okay, so just obviously he's somebody you start every week until something horrible happens. But
way to be positive.
If I told you, you know, Brandon Marshall is going to get 16 targets, you would tell me, you know, don't start Alshon Jeffrey most likely. But he had, you know, he only had 3 catches, I believe, yesterday, but for something like 80-some yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a deep touchdown, I mean, that's 10 points in one play.
Right.
So that's the majority of his points. If that play doesn't happen or if it's a bad throw or he doesn't catch it, then we're probably not talking about him. But, hey, deep touchdown, he's got the potential. And obviously it paid off. I'm not sure if anybody started him in week one, but if you did, congratulations.
Is he a pickup for you? Say if on your waiver wire you have somebody like Ogletree and Alshon Jeffrey sitting there in the waiver wire.
You know what? I'm not going to jump on him, especially if I have a low waiver priority and I have a terrible player on my team that I just want to get rid of, then maybe, yeah, sure, pick him up and give him a go. I'm not sure I'd spend a waiver claim on him, though, at least not yet. He's still the number 4 option.
Right. Matt Forte with a great game yesterday, but
could have been a lot better.
It could have been. And I think this is a story we're going to hear all season fantasy wise. It's great for the Bears. But fantasy wise, you know, Michael Bush being there takes away 2 touchdowns from Matt Forte.
I was watching the game and I love to see the Bears score. And obviously, you know, it's good for the Bears, good for all the Bears fans out there. But if you're a Matt Forte fantasy owner,
it stinks. You are, no way around it.
You are yelling at the television for the first 2 touchdown runs.
Ugh.
Oh, the touchdown vulture has landed here in Chicago.
But in all sincerity, though, Michael Bush, is he somebody I think somebody owns him in our Festivus League. But a couple other leagues I'm in, he's out there on the waiver wire. So is he somebody I just have a hard time picking up these guys who are, you know, short yardage guys for the most part.
How often do offenses end up with first and goal from the 1? Not a ton.
That's true.
And the fact that Bush was able to run from inside the 5, not sure if it was both from the 1. But
what did he end up? Do you have that there? I don't remember what he ended up with. I think he ended up with like 40-some yards still.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what his exact final stats were.
I think it was somewhere along the lines of like 15 points, 15 fantasy points.
Well, he scored 2 touchdowns. That's 12 right there. Yeah, 16.2 fantasy points.
There you go.
So that's a good day. But can you expect Michael Bush to score 2 touchdowns every week? Absolutely not.
No.
But he's probably worth a pickup.
Was there anybody else of fantasy relevance on the Bears yesterday? I mean,
Cutler had a good day.
Bears,
you know what? The Bears defense had a pretty good day. They gave up some points, but obviously the Colts defense had the first touchdown, so the Bears defense not responsible for that. And,
right.
You know, they picked off Luck 3 times and had a fumble recovery. I think they ended up with double-digit points. If your defense can give you double-digit points, positive day.
If you're in a very deep league, say 14 teams or greater,
ours,
right, and you have to start Andrew Luck every week, maybe you had a very low pick and you ended up with an Andrew Luck, does yesterday make you more confident, less confident? How are you feeling about Andrew Luck today?
I'm feeling probably exactly like I expected to feel. If anyone expected anything more than that out of Andrew Luck, obviously you probably, you know, throw a few less interceptions and maybe 1 more touchdown, then you have a respectable day, but he's not a guy you should be starting every week.
Well,
it's a rookie quarterback in a bad offense.
If you didn't watch the game, at least 1 of the interceptions he threw was like, I mean, Jennings had a circus catch on that. I mean, he'd probably like to have the throws back, but they weren't like such egregious errors throwing right to a guy. I mean, the Bears had to make some pretty athletic plays to intercept the football.
But, you know, the Bears have an athletic defense. I'm sure he'll find better success against other defenses out there. But, for instance, that Jennings interception, you know, a non-rookie quarterback, a veteran quarterback knows that if you're going to miss that receiver, you miss him long,
exactly,
not short.
Exactly.
So, you know, he opens himself up to that interception.
That was a ridiculous catch, though.
Although, yes, Tim Jennings made a ridiculous catch.
But it wasn't a Michael Vick-esque day for him yesterday.
Or a Matthew Stafford-esque day.
Yeah,
or
I didn't see the Lions game at all, but I saw some highlights of the Eagles game, and wow, Vick clearly shows he has not practiced much, or he hasn't played much in the preseason.
It was interesting. There, I was, you know, on Twitter the whole day while I was watching NFL, and there were people who at certain points in the Lions-Rams game and also the Eagles-Browns game could have honestly without a doubt said that they could have put their 4-year-old child behind center and had a better stat line than either one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, it was a rough day.
It was a rough day for both of them. But you know what? There were some big games from around the league. Take a listen to a few of those.
There's that same screen. They go to Jones, and again he finds the end zone for a touchdown. Ryan Bush into the end zone, and that is a touchdown again for Atlanta. Robert Griffin III, 6-for-6 on the Redskins' first possession. He fires downfield. He's now 7-for-7 as Garcon breaks free. Pierre Garcon will not be caught. 88 yards to number 88 for the first touchdown of RG3's NFL career.
Manning, Lord, left and throwing. Touchdown. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I got all these new friends. I'm a little nervous. He's the most popular kid in class right now.
Unbelievable. What a performance.
You believe in Peyton Manning?
More than I did before Sunday night, that's for sure.
And that was against the Steelers, correct?
You know what? It was Steelers, but as we mentioned in the last podcast, no James Harrison, no Ryan Clark.
That's true.
The two best, you can argue, besides maybe Polamalu, the two best Steelers defensive players. So, don't get me wrong, Peyton Manning, great game. As you heard there, Peyton Manning, the Broncos beating the Steelers. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, a monster day for the Falcons. Proving, as we noted in our fantasy league, the guy who we ripped on for maybe taking Julio Jones in the
first round.
Yikes. Very sorry about that. Way to go. And RG3, tearing up the Saints defense.
Yeah, how bad
in his debut.
I mean, great. Great game by him. I mean, absolutely great game for RG3.
Oh, the Saints defense. Awful.
Terrible.
I mean, you want to talk about easy throws. You know, 8 for his first 8. There wasn't a defender around any of those throws. It's just brutal. Anyway, thank you to CBS, Fox, NBC for use of those highlights.
And
we appreciate it.
So, I mean, getting back to that a little bit, are you, I mean, expectations-wise with RG3, I mean, you think this is going to be like a Cam Newton-esque year for him, like just a total breakout, or just calm down a little bit, breathe?
You know what? I'd like to see him against not the worst defense in the NFL
before. They're not the worst defense in the NFL.
I'm going to say they're the worst defense in the NFL this year. I really am. I watched that game start to finish here at GN. Logging it for the highlights for instant replay, and it was, he just had a field day. There was no one near him.
Now they're getting a couple guys back though. They're getting Vilma, is he coming back? I mean, they're coming back
eventually. Yeah, he's hurt right now. Will Smith played yesterday though. Those are their two main guys. That's it. They're only missing two guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great news for the Saints offense. I think it's really great news because they're going to be having to just shoot it out with a lot of teams this year.
You know what though? They couldn't complete the comeback yesterday.
No, they couldn't.
Drew Brees failed, which was unexpected, but definitely happened. You know, Washington just set everyone back in a deep cover three, and Brees couldn't pick them apart.
Yeah.
It was a bit shocking.
Right, but fantasy-wise,
yes, they're
going to
throw a lot.
Right, exactly. They're going to have to score a lot of points week in and week out. What else was in there? Who else did we have in there? Oh, you mentioned Julio Jones.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, the first-round pick, we questioned maybe taking over Roddy White, but wow. Julio Jones.
He looked great, man.
And not only two touchdowns, two quick touchdowns. And they were inside the red zone twice, and they went right to him. And that's a good sign for Julio Jones owners.
You got some other highlights there on your printouts that
printed out. Yeah, I printed out all the matchups from our Fantasy Festivus League. Again, we got 14 teams, Marcus and I playing each other. Marcus did not have a good week, so it looks like I'm going to take that one in week one. Thank you very much for that. In a really a battle of attrition. It was ugly.
It was horrible.
I'm just going to skip by it because my two best players are on my bench.
Who's that?
I benched my two wide receivers that actually caught touchdowns.
Who's that?
Lance Moore for the Saints.
I would have benched him too.
And Brandon LaFell, who I actually liked a lot this year. That was Cam Newton's one touchdown pass.
What did he end up with, LaFell?
He had 12.5 points.
Okay.
I think he had somewhere around 60 yards.
Okay, and a touchdown.
And a touchdown, something like that. Nothing spectacular.
A lot of people sleeper pick Carolina to do a lot of damage this year, which I don't see that happening.
You know what? They need to run the ball. They had a really bad, really bad
offensive plan. Jonathan Stewart was out, correct?
Jonathan Stewart was out. They ran the ball for, I think, 10 yards in the whole game. And that's a team that spent a ton of money on their running backs and offensive line.
Yeah, D'Angelo Williams was a pick among many fantasy pundits out there.
Big week.
Yeah, he was like a top three running back start yesterday by
that
a lot of people.
Blew up in everyone's faces.
Speaking of that, I don't want to get ahead of you, but while I'm thinking about it, Chris Johnson yesterday. Should we sound the alarm for Chris Johnson, first of all? 11 carries, I believe it was, for 4 yards? I think I could have gotten 4 yards.
You know, I have Chris Johnson in one of my other leagues.
Wow.
And I would actively punch him in the face
if he just
showed up here right now.
That has to be, for a guy who didn't get hurt, he didn't get hurt and leave the game,
nope.
Right? I didn't see the game.
Nope.
But for a top five pick in many – I mean, top five pick to have that kind of week.
Well, they the first two drives, they gave him the ball, I think, two carries on the first two drives, and then they were down 21-0. So the Patriots went up quick, and they just kept throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And
but even if you get 11 carries, you need to get 30-plus. You need to get 3 yards a carry.
Or no, it was
if
bad.
If you're that kind of running back, I think their offensive line is so bad.
It was real bad.
That I just, I don't know. I'm almost totally sounding the alarm on him at this point.
You know, I'm not giving up on him yet. But
would you trade for Chris Johnson right now if you can get him at a very bargain price?
Well, here's the thing. No one's going to trade him right now because he's probably a first, at worst, a second-round pick.
Okay.
And no one's trading their first or second-round pick for, you know, mid-round scraps yet.
All right.
I'd wait a couple of weeks. If he's still bad and you want to take a risk on him and you can get him for nothing, sure, go ahead. But, wow, yeah.
But that's the problem. If you wait too long, then you're going to get absolutely nothing for him. This is the time, if you're going to trade him, all right, assuming the rest of the year stinks, this is the time you have to trade him because this is the only time there's going to be enough optimism for people to give you something for him. Because if you come to me in week three and Chris Johnson has a total of how many points he had yesterday? Two. If he has a total of 10 points in 3 weeks, I'm not going to give you Cedric Benson for
him.
Then
why am I trading him away if I'm getting nothing in return?
No, I'm saying right now is the time you could actually get something.
Look, you got to live or die by your top picks. If you're the guy who took Chris Johnson, a.k.a. me and my other league, and he had a bad week one.
I tried to trade for Chris Johnson in another league.
You're sticking with him. You're living or dying by the guy. You know, in our league, I had Wes Welker. I think he was my third round pick. That went real well. 14 yards receiving. Wasn't even on the field for 60% of the team snaps.
What happened there?
I don't even know. You know, apparently he dropped a ball early. I wasn't watching the game. I just read about it because everyone's sounding the alarm on him as well.
Yeah, I know.
He dropped a ball early, and the Patriots just went two tight end set and tried to grind down the Titans the whole game. So,
well, I think because last year he had, was it week one that he had those 18 catches for like 200 yards?
Yeah, he went off
like
last
year. So, especially being in a PPR league, you really drafted him high most likely because he's going to get 10 catches a game. Which
that's another guy you're sticking with, though. If he's in your lineup,
yeah,
he's
you
probably your number one wide receiver. You stick with him. Same thing with Chris Johnson. I think you hold out, and if they're bad all year, congratulations, you've lost your fantasy league.
Anything else on there?
You know, I'm just going through our matchups really quick from our Fantasy Festivus League. A couple of close matchups. Actually, all the best teams played each other and all the worst teams played each other.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to get four cheap wins and four tough losses, it looks like. But, you know, it is what it is. Ironically, it looks like, you know, I always like it when backup quarterbacks have monster weeks. I always find that hilarious because you're never going to start them anyway. But for Team 1 in a Million, they not only had Chris Johnson in the lineup, they were playing the team with Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, the lucky Lamborghinis.
Wow.
And Greg Jennings, also in the lineup, who did nothing yesterday, and started Eli Manning over the massive point getter, Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez and the Jets.
How about, are you
40
points. Are you a believer in that?
I don't know.
Stephen Hill's out there on a lot of people's waivers.
You know what? I like Stephen Hill. I actually considered drafting him and didn't in both of my leagues, and I'm punching myself.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure I would have started him in week one, but he's proven he can play in the NFL. You know, he's a guy who played in a run-heavy college offense.
I avoided all Jets just because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And maybe that was wrong, or Buffalo's horrible, who I started on defense yesterday. For a total of minus 2 points.
Minus 2 points.
I like Buffalo. I thought they would end up in the playoffs. It's still early.
We need a sad trumpet drop in for that.
I know. I should get one of them. And an alarm.
Anyway, you know, one of the teams in our league has Andrew Luck and RG3. They started the wrong one.
Oh, really?
Andrew
that
Luck
stinks.
In the starting line.
That
I don't know.
Stinks.
As you know what? He's got a picture of Chris Farley choking on a spare rib.
Choke indeed. That, just from matchup point of view, I would never have done
that.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not saying all
call.
Year I would start RG3 over Andrew Luck, but just matchup-wise, I mean, the Saints defense is just not going to be what it used
why
to
you,
be.
Why you go against the Bears? Hey?
I know. Bears.
Matt Ryan, as we said, had a monster day, but the two teams playing each other, Julio Jones on the other side. So that kind of canceled each other out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That one's going to be close. That is our friend Tab Bamford, currently holding a 12-point lead with all of his guys in the can. He's got to hold off 12 points from the Baltimore defense.
Ooh.
And wide receiver Torrey Smith.
Oh, that he's going to lose.
That is going to be close.
Oh, he's
going
to lose.
That's going to be real close.
Torrey Smith could have a 20-point game.
He could. And the Buffalo defense playing Cincinnati, who knows what Andy Dalton's doing there. We had a couple of good Packers wide receivers hit the bench this week. James Jones, Randall Cobb. Neither one of them started.
Now, Randall Cobb is a guy I want to bring up. Because
Randall Cobb had a big week.
He had a big week.
And only that, but he was used a lot.
That's the key. He's had moments in the past where he's really just looked like he could be a powerhouse person in the NFL. But yes, I mean, just everywhere they used him yesterday, is that an indication of what you think they're going to do the rest of the year with him?
I think, if Randall Cobb's out there, that's a guy I'm looking at too.
Well, could he be like the Percy Harvin of the Packers?
Definitely.
I mean, you can put him in the backfield.
Judging by how many plays he was on the field, I mean, there was drives where they targeted him like three, four plays in a row, just catch after catch after catch.
So
they're running plays for him. I mean, that's something that was definitely not expected.
He's on a lot of waiver wires. Do you think he's the number one waiver wire pickup this year over somebody like Ogletree?
Probably not. I think you're going to see probably Ogletree, maybe Stephen Hill, a guy who's actually drafted in our league but probably wasn't in a lot of leagues, C.J. Spiller.
Oh, yeah.
Because Fred Jackson got hurt. And
Alfred Morris of the Redskins.
Alfred Morris of the Redskins, another running
back. I started
back.
Him in another league, and it paid off for me yesterday.
Nice.
Really,
no
really
kidding.
Nice day. It was a really gutsy call. I benched Donald Brown for him, and that paid off.
That
I was
paid
happy.
Off big, yeah.
Now, let me ask you. I have a scenario in another league that I'm in, and maybe some other people are in a situation like this.
Sure.
But it's a flea flicker league. And in this league, it's the waiver wire, which I talked about before. So whoever has the lowest points this week, it goes from like bottom
to top.
One waiver it's the number one waiver priority. Now, I'm down by 40 points going into tonight, okay? I have Darren McFadden.
Okay.
I have the Ravens defense.
Okay.
And I have Nate Kading, kicker.
Does your opponent have anyone on left?
No. He has nobody left. Now, if I right now have the lowest points in the league. Do I bench all of my guys so that way I can have the number one waiver priority and pick up a Randall Cobb? Or do I go for it and go for the win and try to get 40 points with those three? Are you comfortable enough in me winning to do that? And would it be a total DB move for me to bench all those guys just to get the number one priority?
Okay.
Also, I should add, it's a keeper league where after the sixth round in your draft or anybody you pick up on the waiver wire, you can keep.
Wow. You know what? Two-part answer. Number one, it is a total DB move. I mean...
Illegal.
Not illegal, but probably very frowned upon by whoever has the second least amount of points in your league.
Yes.
Number two, I think those three guys have a legit shot at getting 40 points.
Right.
You have a chance. Know what? If you were down 80 points and you knew there was no way you were winning, then maybe I consider it and just take the flack from the rest of the league for booting the rest of week one. But McFadden can easily go for 20.
Yep.
The Ravens defense could easily go for double digits.
Uh-huh.
And Kading could too. We saw David Akers put up 16 points as a fantasy kicker this week.
I know. How about that?
63-yarder off the crossbar.
It was a beautiful day yesterday for a Chicago Bears fan.
It really was.
Because the Bears are tearing up Soldier Field. The Packers are losing. Guys are kicking 80-yard field goals at Lambeau, breaking records.
Yeah.
It was just a good day.
It was a good day.
So you would say, start my guys.
I would say, don't be a DB.
Don't be a DB. You understand my predicament, though.
I get it. I totally get it. I see the benefit in benching all your guys.
I'm so torn.
Do you have a good team?
Well, I mean, the guy that I'm going against has the most points this week. So I could have a good team because I had Michael Vick yesterday as a quarterback who had a good game. Fantasy-wise, except for those four picks. If you didn't throw those four picks...
Just like Ryan Matthews, except for the broken collarbone.
I know, exactly.
Right?
I know, exactly. But he still ended up with like 317 yards.
Yeah, that's because they were throwing
a couple
game.
Of touchdowns. And
LeSean McCoy just sitting on my team not doing anything yesterday. I would play your guys.
Are you worried about Michael Vick?
No.
Like, do I pick up Nick Foles as a handcuff in that league?
No.
Because Vick getting benched. Not getting hurt, but getting benched.
There are better quarterback options than Nick Foles. If you really want another quarterback, do you have a backup quarterback?
Yes.
Who is it?
Gosh, I don't even remember. Bradford, maybe? Sam Bradford?
Okay, well, he's probably still going to be better than Nick Foles.
You think so? But yes. If Foles gets in there, you think he has the opportunity, the chance to be somebody good?
If you have a backup quarterback that half of your league wouldn't know how to pronounce his last name.
Foles.
Or, yeah, Foles.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy?
Who's this guy?
Oh, man, your team sucks.
I heard there's Eagle fans like clamoring for him.
They totally are.
Hysterical.
He had a great preseason.
I'm sure he did.
Good preseason. He looked excellent out there.
Yeah, and guess what? Teams that had terrible preseasons went and dropped 40 points on their opponents yesterday. So,
all right, we're going way long here. Is there anything else you want to say going into week two?
Go Bears?
Yeah, and this is an early edition of the podcast. We're taping this on Monday.
We don't know the Monday night
Tuesday. We don't know the Monday night results.
Usually we
yet.
Recap the whole week and final scores, but can't do it tomorrow. So, hey, you're getting an early edition. Bears, Packers, Thursday. Very excited. I think we're going to recap. Prediction?
Yeah.
By the way, I was pretty close. I was like 8 points over.
You were pretty good.
I am going to predict something Bears fans won't like.
Oh, okay.
I am going to predict that the Packers rebound nicely. And win 27-16.
16, wow.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah, I just don't believe in the Packers' defense all that much. I think the Packers will win because, look, if the Packers lose this game, they're not in a good spot. They're 0-2. The Bears are 2-0, and they lost to the Bears at home. So that's not a good spot.
That's fair.
I say Packers 33, Bears 24. I think it's going to be closer than you think. Because that Bears offense against that Packers D, I think it's going to put up some points.
You realize we both just guessed 9-point spreads.
Did we really?
Yeah.
I just made that up off the top of my head. But I think it's going to be closer. I think it's going to be... Wait, did you say 9 points?
Yeah.
What did you say for the Packers?
I said 20... Oh, no, I said 11.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. That's what I thought.
How about 25, 16? Then it'll be even? No.
Right. Listen, lock in your pick. What is your pick?
I said 27-16.
27-16.
It's a very odd score I'm sticking
with. Robbie Gould's leg is going to fall off on Thursday night.
Why not?
All right, we'll talk to everybody in a few days here.
If you're still listening, congratulations. Goodbye.
Bye.